Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
What's going on? Not a lot.
Not a lot?
Still a bit blocked up, as you can probably hear.
Oh. You over the worst?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Sorry, are you over the worst of it?
No. Oh. I'm on antibiotics again.
Gosh, so lucky.
I've had a blood test though. I did what you said. I had a blood test. Nothing's wrong.
No.
And then I got the whole spiel again of like, oh, you've got a kid in daycare, everyone's immunity is low from COVID, blah 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 blah. And I was like, this is not normal. Like, I've been sick for, this is my sixth week, and my sinuses have been blocked for most of that time.
So, and they checked your vitamin D, your B12, everything. Iron, wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's annoying. That is very annoying.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. How was last night? You had your Christmas party?
Yeah, it was all right. I didn't get too crazy. I only had a few drinks and then went home because I was like still so blocked.
Yeah.
And, like, lots of people didn't go because they were sick, and I feel like everyone was looking at me like, oh, you've made everyone sick. But I didn't. Like, I've had this sickness for so long. Like,
yeah.
You know. And, yeah, so there wasn't that many people there, really. Like, it wasn't as big as our normal Christmas party. So, but, yeah.
That's right. I feel like so many people are sick. Even, like, at work, I've got so many people every morning, like, I cannot get out of bed. So, yeah. Like you said, there is definitely something going around. I'm trying to dodge it this year because I was sick. I don't know if you remember last year, I completely lost my voice. I was, like, bedridden for days. So I'm hoping this year, at least just hit me later. Do you know what I mean? Don't hit me over Christmas. So,
yeah, we'll see.
We will see.
I don't really have much news this week, but I am dying to talk to you about this week's because I'm hoping you've watched and listened and everything.
I have. I totally have. I just, before we get into it, I don't know. I don't think we shouted out Melanie and Diane last week for buying us some coffee. So I just wanted to quickly give them a shout out and say thank you.
Thanks for that.
But yes, maybe if you want to get into it, let's do it, Lockie.
Yeah, I think let's just go for it today.
All right.
We're coming into town. Hey, we're coming in for a beer. Good boy.
Larimer is a town of 11 people. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, Australia. There's no cell phone reception. There's really nothing aside from one pub and a pet crocodile.
And not bragging or anything, I put Larimer on the map.
Here we are, everybody.
Just grab a quick beer.
He has a habit of biting.
It was just a whole hippie thing going on. My sort of place, you know.
There we go, folks.
That's where Paddy used to live. That's where he went missing.
Last time I saw Paddy was December the 16th.
See you later, folks, and off he went.
The next day I did go looking for him.
He wasn't there.
There was no sign of any disturbance.
There was a very eerie feeling.
Everyone in Larimer was a suspect.
What's your relationship with Paddy?
Did you knock Paddy off?
Where's Paddy's body?
Do you know what happened? Are you involved?
I don't know nothing.
Paddy Roth, definitely not an angel.
True.
What happened with Paddy? That's been on the agenda for a long time.
Perhaps Paddy was murdered and put into some pies.
What's stopping Barry from feeding him to the crocodile? That's why the crocodile's fat.
There was utter hatred in this town.
There's three sides to every story. There's yours, there's mine, and then there's the truth.
Okay, so today we are talking about the disappearance of Paddy Moriarty, and Paddy Moriarty is the focus of a new Netflix documentary that has just appeared in the last few weeks called Last Stop Larimer. And I did mention this last week and how good it was, and I suggested you watch it, Karina. So I assume you've watched it this week.
I have watched it, Lucky. You what didn't did you warn me about all the reptiles, though, because I had to shut my eyes.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was like, peeking through a bit of it, like, because obviously they're like outback. There's a lot of, you know, what's there? So I was like, oh, a bit freaked out by that. But other than that, the actual story is so interesting. Like, yeah. Especially that it happened here in Australia. I just find it wild. I find it crazy how these people live. Like, it's just something that's just so foreign to me. What did you think?
Yeah, I felt the same. I just think it's so crazy to me that they live in a place like that. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's probably the most Australian case, like, ever. Very Australian. But I thought the same thing. I thought, this is just crazy to me. And like, I think I read in Larimer, the average age is like 70 years old.
Yes.
So they're all older people.
Yep.
Like, it's just crazy. And it can get to 50 degrees.
Yeah. And you know what I couldn't understand is why would someone stop there? But obviously it's because it runs off a highway. That's right. Yeah. So if like someone's traveling in between two different places, that's probably the only stop they've got for miles. Is that right?
Yes.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. So Patrick Moriarty, and he's more well known as Paddy, he was born in Limerick, Ireland on March the 30th, 1947, and he travelled from Ireland to Australia when he was just 18 years of age. He doesn't have any relatives in Australia that anyone can trace. And, like, I think he's got kids. Like, he's mentioned he had kids, but no one really knows who or where they are. Mm. When he arrived in Australia, he worked on, like, a cattle station as a ringer, a grader driver, and a station hand. And he used to, like, be part of the rodeo circuit, like, in northern Australia. And he was actually pretty good at it. But he spent most of his career working in those, like, cattle stations in the territory. He had a history of heart disease and had stents inserted in his heart in 2006, which was almost 10 years before his disappearance. And then in 2008, he moved from Daly Waters, which is also in the territory, to Larimer. And he purchased like an old service station building to live in, and he purchased it for $30,000, which is nothing. And he lived in that. And that was his plan, to live in Larimer and just have a simple life, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Larimer is located about 500 k's south of Darwin, and it is really, really isolated. It has no phone reception, and the closest supermarket is 90 kilometres away. Like, it's crazy. Just, it's wild to me. Like, they are just so isolated, and I just cannot imagine wanting to live there. At all.
I know.
I just don't get it.
You know what, though? You know what I was thinking? Like, when I first, because I actually listened to the podcast, there's a podcast on this case. I listened to that first before watching the doco on Netflix, right? And how I had pictured the town in my mind was not how it looks, if that makes sense. I thought that the residents would be like a lot further, because it's obviously in the middle of nowhere, like spread out, and they'd have like massive land, but it's not. It's actually, they are quite close together.
Close.
Yeah.
So Larimer only has, I don't know about right now, but at the time of Paddy's disappearance had 11 residents, so a population of 11. And I think, like, it's always been a really small town. I think the most people that ever lived there was about 20, and that was back in the 90s. It's always floated around that, like, 10 to 12 population mark. So it had a museum, because I think it was a town that was in the war, or I don't know, something to do with the war. So there was a museum there for that. There was a caravan park, and then the very famous Larimer Hotel, or it was dubbed the Pink Panther Pub because it was painted pink. It's actually really pretty.
Yes. I was actually thinking to myself, if it wasn't for the zoo attached to this place, I would want to visit there.
Yeah, there's actually, the pub has a resident crocodile that the publican looks after. Like, it's very Australian. It's just, the more I talk about it, I think, wow.
Yeah.
So there was also just like a handful of residential houses in the town as well, but that was it. Like, there's no supermarket, no post office, no doctors, nothing.
So you'd have to rely on your neighbours. Like, if something happened, it's pretty much your neighbours that are the only ones that are going to help you, you know?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So Paddy was a regular at the Pink Panther pub. He cleaned the camp toilets, did the laundry, he made up rooms at the hotel, and he tended to the gardens at the pub in the caravan park in the mornings. And then he'd finish at lunchtime and he'd go to the pub and have a beer. This is every day. He had a particular chair that he sat in at the pub, which was on the left-hand side of the main entrance, and he always had his dog Kelly with him at the pub. So Paddy liked order and cleanliness and routines. He kind of always wore the same thing, like thongs and a hat. He'd always have a hat on. He kept his house like really, really clean, spotless. Everything had its place. And he kind of had this same attention to detail in his work when he was, you know, cleaning and keeping up with the pub and the caravan park. His routine was so, like, specific that it was well known to all of the residents of Larimer. He walked his dog in the morning down in a specific area. He rode his quad bike to the hotel or to the pub every day. Callie, the dog, was always on the back. He always worked to midday. He always went and had beers in the afternoon. Like, he did the same thing every single day. And he would normally leave the pub with Callie, the dog, at about 4:30 p.m. every day. So as I mentioned, this whole story, the disappearance of Paddy, is the focus of a new Netflix documentary called Last Stop Larimer. I highly recommend people watch it. I think it's a really good documentary, really well done, doesn't sit on either side, it just kind of shows the facts. It was really, really good. So the story of Paddy's disappearance is on December the 16th in 2017, Paddy and his dog Callie left the Larimer pub at his normal time. They rode home on his quad bike. He had his usual 8 beers at the pub that day. And the barman that worked there, Richard Simpson, said on this day, on the 16th, he did consume a few more than normal, but he wasn't, like, really drunk. He was just his normal level of intoxicated, like nothing really out of the ordinary. A neighbour spotted Paddy and Callie on their way home and offered the remains of a barbecue chicken to give to the dog. At which Paddy accepted. So they went back to his house. He put the rest of this barbecue chicken in the microwave for his dog. And that's that. So the following day, on December the 17th, Paddy didn't turn up to collect his neighbor's lawnmower, which he had prearranged the day before. But the neighbor wasn't too worried. He kind of just thought that Paddy obviously had changed his plans for the day. Prior to leaving the pub on the 16th, the day before, Paddy told Barry, the owner of the pub, that he wouldn't come to work on Sunday, but he would drop in to get this mower. So that was his plan, and everyone was expecting him to come and get this lawnmower at midday, which he didn't. He didn't turn up for his regular afternoon drinks on the 17th either, and the publican, Barry Sharp, thinks, okay, well, if we don't see him tomorrow, I'll go and check on him. So the following day, Barry goes to Paddy's home and he has a look around. Paddy is not at home, but his car and his quad bike are at home. All his belongings are still in his house, which is like his key card and for the hotel and, you know, his general belongings that he carries day to day. But Paddy and the dog, Callie, are nowhere to be seen. And I've just got an excerpt from the coronial inquest of everything that was noticed in his house, like when he was missing. So the rain gauge had not been emptied and had rained quite a bit the night before, and Paddy always emptied his rain gauge every single morning. His sunglasses were left on his quad bike. The quad bike keys were on his table, and his car keys were not in his house. His screen door was unlocked, and this door can only be locked from the inside, which is a thing to note, and he always locked his door when he left. The kitchen fan was on. His usual hat and cowboy hat were in the residence, and he wore this hat every single day. Like, he always had his hat on.
Yeah, people didn't know he was bald because they'd never seen him without a hat.
Yeah, always had a hat on. He, like I said before, he was really neat and always put things away, but his hat and his glasses and his key card were just like laying out on the table. He had his regular heart medication in the fridge. There were food containers on his dining room table as if he was about to sit down and have a meal. And there was food in Kelly's dog bowl, and the fan was also on, pointing towards his bed, but it didn't look like the bed had been slept in. And the last thing was the gate at the back of his house was left open, and Paddy would always shut this gate because there was feral donkeys in the area. And he'd always shut it because otherwise they'd get in and ransack your house, you know?
Would they actually? Donkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So on December the 20th, Barry, the publican, was still worried that he hadn't seen Paddy, so he did call the police, and a local police officer heads to Larimer to see what's going on. And when I say a local police officer, it would be from the nearest main town. Like, Larimer didn't have a police station or a policeman. A lot of the local residents were kind of just looking around to search for him, kind of searching like the local bushland around the town to see if they could see him or the dog, but no luck.
So at this stage, do they just think that he sort of like had wandered off and sort of gotten himself into trouble? That was my understanding anyway.
Yeah, I think they think at this point that he's wandered into the bush with Callie and he's either had a medical episode because of his heart or he's fallen over or something. So they're just trying to see if they can find him.
Mm-hmm.
On December the 21st, the police bring in a search and rescue team, and this includes a helicopter to search the area. The police search all his house. They look through his bank accounts, etc., to see if there's any trace of where he could be, but no luck. And the main reason for bringing the helicopter in was they were trying to find the dog because they thought, you know, if he did have a medical episode or he fell over, that the dog would just be wandering around. But they didn't find the dog either. So a few days later, on December the 23rd, police call off this search and they state that they're not expecting to find him alive at this stage. So they're not actively searching for, like, the dog or a live human.
Yeah.
After almost 10 days of Paddy being missing, the police kind of began an investigation. Because really, I think the dog was like the main reason for this, because they didn't find the dog. It started to look a little bit suspicious.
A red flag.
Yeah. And so their investigation started by talking to the remaining 10 residents of Larimer. And from these interviews, it was clear that even though Larimer was a very small town and you'd expect, you know, everyone to be quite close, there were feuds in the town between some of the neighbours and Paddy. And Paddy was a bit of a larrikin who liked to stir the pot a bit, and he used to like to, you know, play with people and joke around. And early on in these interviews, it was pretty clear that Paddy's biggest enemy in the town was a lady by the name of Fran Hodgetts.
Sorry, just so funny. Oh my god.
In the documentary, when they're talking about their feud, I find it really entertaining.
Yeah.
So Fran lived across the road from Paddy and they absolutely hated each other. So Fran ran a Devonshire tea house and she made like homemade pies that she served at this tea house. And this tea house was pretty famous along the Stuart Highway, like for tourists to stop in.
Wasn't a pie like $17 or something? Back then as well.
Yeah. Wow. And well known. I think they were like pretty well known pies.
Yeah.
She'd actually lived in the Northern Territory for 50 years and she'd lived in Larimer for 45 years. And she'd had the tea house for 35 of that year. So it really was her whole life, this tea house. She'd actually met Paddy 30 years prior to his disappearance at Daly Waters, which is like the next kind of main town. And they were initially on good terms when Paddy purchased his house across from hers. However, their relationship deteriorated fairly quickly. She told Paddy that he was not to come near her tea house anymore because there was – so Fran ended up divorcing her husband, and Patty kind of sided with the husband, like took his side over France, and this just like really soured their relationship. But part of the issue of their feud was that Patty was discouraging people from going to her tea house. And what he would do is, like, if tourists would park in the road, he'd say, oh, don't go there. Or, like, he'd walk up to the tea house and say, oh, don't eat these. Like, you know, he'd like,
sick.
pull customers away. Yeah.
Yeah, you like, you'll get sick from her pies, or there's better pies at the pub or something.
Yeah. He also put up signs saying, like, the pub had better pies and was, like, very unwelcoming of visitors when they'd park in her tea house, like, at her tea house to go there. He'd be, like, really rude to them. Which, that's her whole business. Like, you can see how she'd get pissed off with that.
Yeah.
The other part of their issue was that Fran believed that Patty and her ex-husband were interfering with her property, and they were doing things like poisoning her garden, cutting her CCTV cables to her house, which she got installed to catch him in the act for other stuff. Mm. And her tea house did get flooded a few times, and she thought that Patty was behind that. Fran had actually made 9 complaints to the police between the years of 2010 and 2017. And I do just want to go through each of these complaints because it gives a bit of context as to their whole feud and like how intense it was. So it started off June 2010. Fran believed that Patty stole her red umbrella. And then when police questioned him, he just said he was trying to stir her up. And he would, like, buy a similar red umbrella and put it out the front of the pub, like, to piss her off. The following month, Fran complained that books and memorabilia were stolen from her tea house. And she suspected it was Patty. The following year, she complained that she wanted the police to do something about Patty because he was threatening tourists and scaring them away from her tea house. And Fran said that she had those CCTV cameras installed so she could have proof that he was doing these things to her, which, you know, in a town like that, you wouldn't have, like, a full security system, I don't think.
No, but they don't even have freaking, like, reception. How would this – I don't even know how you'd get this going.
Yeah. Like, no internet and stuff.
Yeah.
In July 2011, Fran told the police that Patty was abusing all her customers and he'd put, like, glass bottles under the tires of her customers' cars. He was telling customers how crap her food was, you know, that it was not safe to park in her property to go to the tea house, like, things like that, right? So she was really, like, trying to ruin her business. She, like I said, she'd thought that he had done things to her property, like broken hose fittings and put different fittings on her hose so it would blow up in her face and all this stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So
imagine she all also, along, this sounds like primary school. You know when, like, there's a boy being really mean to you but he secretly loves you? Imagine, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, Patty was really good friends with her ex-husband. Do you remember Bobby in the documentary?
Yes, yeah.
That's her ex-husband.
Husband. Hey, sorry, I know you're running through all the things he did, but one of the things, Lockie, I don't know if you have it in your notes, but I was actually beside myself. I couldn't stop laughing. I don't know if it was a donkey's willy. Did you see this, that he threw it at her house?
Yeah, threw it at her house.
A donkey's willy. What the heck?
She was complaining to the police that he'd been, like, you know, when she'd put the open sign on to her tea house, he'd come over and turn it to closed.
Oh.
Like, little things like that.
You would actually go mad. If this was it's your business, you actually would lose your mind. You'd get pissed.
Yeah, you would. Yeah. 2014, she complained to police that Patty was actually stalking her, that he was sitting in his front yard, with binoculars, still telling customers that her food wasn't very good. And Larimer was actually a focus of, like, an ABC documentary way before Patty disappeared. And in this documentary, which, mind you, aired on national television, he's interviewed telling people how crap her food is. and saying things like, I tried to give it to my dog and my dog wouldn't even eat it. You know, like just had no, just did not care. Tell anyone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she took Patty to court in 2016 because someone had poisoned her garden by tipping oil over everything and she wanted to, you know, take him to court for that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that's it. Like they were back and forth with each other. And this is obviously a little bit one-sided. This is what Fran has said, because obviously Patty's not here to tell his other side of the story. I'm sure that she would be messing with him too, because you get over it a lot, but he was really stirring her up.
Yeah. But you know, when they went, when she did take him to civil court, didn't they both sign a document that they would be like, not friends, but they would at least like wave to each other if they saw each other. Like there's all these like command, not commandments, but all these things that they had agreed to. But I'm guessing they just signed it just to, you know, in hopes that it would get, or he probably signed it in hopes it would get her off his back. And I doubt that he actually abided by all this stuff he signed off to, you know.
When Patty found out that Fran was taking him to court, he found a dead kangaroo and dragged it into her yard, put it right at her, like under her window at her front door. Like, so she had to deal with it. Like things like that. Like that's full on.
Yeah.
So from the outside, you can see why the police focused their investigation on Fran, because she really was like, she hated him the most within the town and she was the biggest suspect. However,
and Lockie, sorry, you know, in that doco, as in the Netflix doco, it shows a bit of the ABC doco regarding Laramie. You know, she's like, he'll get what's coming to him one day. Just be patient. Oh my goodness, that gave me chills.
Yeah. She actually like used to say all the time, like, oh, I'll kill him. I'll kill him. You know, like obviously just in a casual way, but it's just, I guess now looking back, it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so being the biggest suspect in Patty's disappearance did really affect Fran's life. She said that people would shout murderer at her in the street. And she did have an alibi, though. From the days that Patty disappeared, she was actually spending a few days in Darwin. She was not in the town on the day Patty disappeared. Like I just mentioned, she used to tell her close friends and family, like, she'd kill Patty. And one of her close friends actually turned against her and told the police that she was saying these things, which obviously didn't help her case. But because of the alibi, they really couldn't do much with that evidence. So like I mentioned, there's a few theories as to what happened to Patty. One of them is that he got lost in the bush, succumbed to the elements, or had a medical episode, or went into a sinkhole. There's actually quite a few sinkholes in that area of the territory. But this doesn't explain why the dog wasn't found. Because if he, even if he had gotten sucked down a sinkhole or stuck in a sinkhole, the dog would be found. It's very rare that you'd walk on a sinkhole big enough to, you know, gobble the two of them up at once.
And how about like his hat and stuff? Like you think that if he was venturing out, he would have put on his hat.
Exactly. Exactly. The other theory, I mean, sorry, let me just keep going with that first one. So the police search local animal shelters, like thinking that maybe if he did like succumb to the elements that someone picked the dog up and dropped it at a local animal shelter, but they couldn't find any trace of Callie the dog.
That's actually clever though, isn't it? Like it is. That they search shelters, because I read somewhere that the police actually received like an anonymous note telling them to search shelters and they were asking for information. They're like, please come forward if you, you know, wrote us this note, because obviously like, do you know something that, you know, we don't know?
They but don't know.
No one, no one ever came forward and they never found Callie. So,
So another theory is that he just literally got up and walked out. But like you said, he didn't have his hat. Like I think even if he was going to leave everything behind, he would have taken his hat at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And his medication. He's not going to get medication. Far without the medication, Lockie. Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. But really the focus was that because there was no dog, something sinister has probably happened to him and the dog's probably gone. Like, being murdered with him. So a few locals to Larimer noted that Callie the dog was very, very shy and she was very skittish, and there was only a few people in the town that would actually be able to get close enough to her to pat her. And these two people were Barry the publican and the barman Richard Simpson. They were the only two that really were friendly with Callie the dog.
That barman is freaking hilarious in that dog.
Yeah. Lucky. He's, one of a kind.
He was, and you know how he was sort of like accused, maybe he had something to do with Patty's murder. They're trying to say like, oh, you did it because, I don't know, they had like, you were jealous that he was, you know, doing more work at the Pink Panther. And he's like, yeah, I hate, if anyone knows me, they know I hate working.
Yeah.
And as if I'm going to kill someone so I have to work more. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. He's losing it.
So the investigation then turned to another person of interest, and this was a guy by the name of Owen Laurie. Owen was brought into the town of Larimer by Fran, and Fran allowed Owen to live on her property, and in exchange for this, Owen was Fran's gardener. Now, even though the town was so small, the local residents of Larimer said that they never actually met Owen. And they have said that they couldn't even describe what he looked like. Like, he never mingled with the town. Mm. And the rumor then turned to Fran had told Owen to do her dirty work. You know, like, she had chosen those 2 days to go to Darwin and he was going to do it in the days that she wasn't around. And, you know, like, not like a hit, but, like, you know, she got Owen to knock him off.
But why would Owen go for it is what, like, why would he do that for Fran? It's not like they were together.
Well, Owen and Patty had the same feelings towards each other. So they also hated each other. A neighbour recalled an argument between Owen and Patty, which they had in the street, where Owen was yelling to Patty, get rid of that effing dog or I'll get rid of it for you. And Patty responded to Owen, like, you touch that dog, I'm going to kneecap you. Like, they were threatening each other in the street. Like, they hated each other almost just as much. Mm. Now, this was a rumor, like, as to how much they hated each other, or the rumor that Owen did it for Fran, until there was some audio that was released. And the police had bugged Owen's house and gotten this audio. And what it was that there was a man playing guitar and singing a song, and the song had lyrics that said, I killerated old Paddy, I struck him on the head and killerated him, basherated him. And then he's talking about things like donged him on the head, you know, smacked him with a claw hammer, killed that dog. Like, he's saying things about the murder, right?
Mm.
And Owen responded to this and said it was not me in the recording. Like, you've obviously recorded somebody else.
Well, who else was in his bungalow?
Exactly. I might just put a bit of it in the episode just so people can hear the song, because it's, you can think what you like about it.
Yeah.
But there was, other than this song, there was a lot more audio captured. And he was recorded saying things like, I killed Patty, I killed the dog. You know, they can't get me if they don't find the hammer. Like, all this stuff was recorded, right? And he has denied that it was him, you know, in those recordings saying it. And then where he couldn't, you know, where he couldn't say it wasn't him, he'd say things like, oh, I was just joking. Like, you know how you say you're going to kill someone in, you know, casually, like, that's what I was saying. So when the recordings were done, and the police obviously wanted to speak to him, Owen exercised his right to silence and he got a lawyer pretty quickly. And a coronial inquest has since happened, and the results of this inquest determined that Paddy was killed in the context of and likely due to the ongoing feud he had with his nearest neighbours. So the inquest is pretty much saying someone in the town got pissed off with him so much, they killed him. The inquest also determined that it's likely Paddy is deceased and he likely died on the day he disappeared on December the 16th. Mm. So that's where it stands. And Owen was at the inquest, denied the whole time. But the audio is very damning. It's just, I don't know if police can prove it was him that said it.
But hey, isn't there like evidence showing that Owen was using the phone booth outside yes. Paddy's house
yes.
the night Paddy disappeared?
Yes. So with the phone booth, so when they did, the police started investigating it being suspicious, there was a Telstra phone booth along the main street of Larimer, and it was right outside Paddy's home. And there was one or two calls placed on that phone booth, like early in the evening on December the 16th. And
the police were thinking,
yeah. And police were thinking, like, all right, whoever made these calls might know something, because they would have either seen him walking away or seen someone going into his house or something. And then it was later revealed that Owen was the one who used that phone booth that night.
Mm. And they say that Paddy never had Kelly on, like, a lead, and she used to, like, run over to France and get into fights with Owen's dog. Like, that's what their feud, one of their main feuds was about. So, I mean, if something like that happened and then, you know, Owen's at the phone booth and sees Kelly running over to his dog, maybe he's done something to the dog and then Paddy's come out, you know what I mean, and it's gone from there. That's what makes sense to me, because I feel like if it would have been very hard for it to happen in the house, because there's no sign of a struggle in his house.
Yeah.
And then how to get the dog. That's the biggest thing. Like, how would anyone grab the dog if it was only friendly with, like, the guy that owned the bar and the bartender?
Yeah. I mean, I do believe that Fran has no idea what happened. Like, I don't think that she made Owen do it. I think she brought Owen in. Owen had to listen to her complain about all the things he did. And, you know, obviously it made him mad. And then he, you know, obviously developed his own feud with him. And like you mentioned, I think that it just happened spur of the moment. You know, maybe the dogs wandered into the yard or something. However, I do think it's a bit of a coincidence that she was away.
Mm.
You know, like, maybe they did talk about it and that was all pre-planned, that she'd go away for those 2 days and it was going to happen then. I'm not sure.
See, I'm in two minds. One, I think that maybe potentially she didn't know and it just happened to be a weekend she was away, right? But when she got back, she must have, I've just got this feeling she must have had an inkling that Owen was involved. Maybe she didn't want to believe it at the start, but there has to be something that makes you think, like, I don't know, like, what are the freaking chances? And what else would have happened to him?
Yeah.
Because originally
murdered. Yeah.
And how did no one else hear anything? Well, Fran was away. And that if you look at the map, they live a little bit, like, just outside of where all the other residents live.
Yeah. I mean, like, do you really believe that no one knows anything?
Oh, see, that's a good question. Yeah. Like,
in a town of 10 people, as if. As
they'd be gossiping.
No one's talked about it.
Yeah. I know. But you know what? The only – you know what, though? This is the only thing, Lockie. If it was Owen and he didn't mingle with all the other residents, maybe they have no idea. If it was someone in the town that was friends with everyone, I think that, like you said, there'd be sort of like different sort of stories going around, and the actual killer maybe is making up different stories, but Owen never mingled with any of them. So maybe that's why, you know, they don't know. I don't know. It's just Owen, crazy.
I get the impression as well that Owen maybe isn't all there, or maybe has a mental issue of some kind. Like when you hear the audio of him singing, I just think like something doesn't feel right. Like it doesn't, something's not right there. So maybe he just had a bit of a temper. I'm not sure.
No, I've heard that he did have, because doesn't Fran say later on, oh my gosh, we have to talk about something quickly. Fran is living in Melbourne now. Where is she? Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk to Fran. Her. I want to talk to her too. But yeah, Fran has moved to Melbourne. But I'm quite sure in one of the interviews she did, she says that Owen did have a bit of a temper.
Yeah.
So if she thinks that, imagine the temper that he had.
Yeah.
And that was her friend. Well, they were like, you know, it was one of the only people he saw, but they were meant to be sort of like, she was his boss, if you think about it.
So, like you mentioned, Fran's moved out of Larimer, but her grandson runs her tea house up there, and the other residents in Larimer really are the same people that were there when he disappeared. I think Barry Sharp, the publican, has passed away, I think, or he's sick, and there's a new young couple that run the pub. But other than that, it's the same people that are
and they
still
had a baby. It's like the first baby in 40 years to live in Larimer, the young couple. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it was a little bit sad at the end, that, like, all the old people, like, when we die, this town will die. I was like, oh, that's a bit sad. But now they've got, like, a young – they've got, like, the grandson and the young couple in there. You never know, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, there's no real answers to Patty's disappearance. Hopefully the documentary does spark some new, like, conversations and investigations and stuff like that. But, yeah, there's no answers, no remains. Dog's never been found. It's all just open to interpretation, I suppose.
If they don't find his, like, I don't know how they'd find his body. They're literally in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
Like, it would have to be pure luck.
Yes. And, like, with all of the animals up there, like crocodiles and stuff,
oh,
like,
oh my gosh.
He could have been fed to any animal. You'd never know. You'd never know.
There was two things that I read, like, online, and one of them was that he was, like, fed to that crocodile, and some people
at the
thought
pub,
it was, yeah, the pup. And the other one, oh, my God, Lockie, this literally made me a bit sick, is that Fran served him from her pies or something. Did you see that? That is in Fran's pies. Like, obviously that's completely ridiculous, but the internet has gone wild with these theories. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. What a crazy case.
Very crazy.
My goodness, Lucky! I don't know how you found that. I did not come up on my Netflix.
Netflix. So, if you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review. You can head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimeandcanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.